the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
We're back! You ready? Tim and Sid! Hour number two. Swag!
This is Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Still to come, Kyle Turley will join us at 3:22, a former Saint who has been very outspoken against not only the bounty program, but also their NFLPA representative, who just happens to be Drew Brees. Michael Grange will stop by. He'll talk not only about Steve Nash, but the timing of the one-year suspension handed down to Sean Payton and why that is pertinent information when discussing Roger Goodell. And we'll continue with our match game. Tim Tebow will begin to blank now that he is in New York City.
Can you repeat it?
Sorry, Tim Tebow that. Will begin to blank now that he's in New York City.
The possibilities are endless, really.
They're endless. And we'll get you what Dallas Green of City in Color told us off air for his match game on the air.
Not just that, Timmy. We are not forgetting what happened in Chicago last night between the Blackhawks and the Canucks.
Helmo.
Duncan Keith, Daniel Sedin. The always interesting Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune will join us next. If you remember where Steve went the last time we had him on in terms of the city of Vancouver, you will know that this could get very interesting in the next segment. So we're going to talk to Steve from Chicago, talk about an interesting night between the Blackhawks and the Canucks. All right, up first, the highest Canadian ever drafted in the NBA, native of Brampton, Ontario, member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Joining us again here on Tim and Sid, it's Tristan Thompson. Tristan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
All good.
Listen, I just want to say right off the front, I'm not going to mention Joe Johnson. I'm not going to mention last night. I know it didn't end the way you wanted, so I'm going to just push aside and act like it didn't happen. So we're going to focus on you.
Okay, sounds good, man. Sounds good. I'm still feeling it right now.
Yeah, still smarting.
I know. Right. Well, let's focus on you. 40 minutes last night. You have the 27-12 game earlier this week against New Jersey. Your confidence level right now must be sky high.
I think it's just my teammates, I guess putting me in good opportunities to, do well. And, when you got a point guard like Kyrie and you got a stretch for like Antoine, it kind of makes things a little easier.
How good is Kyrie Irving?
He's phenomenal. I think next year he'll probably be in talk to the top five point guards in the league. Maybe even an all-star next year. But, no, he's great. He finds guys. He's poised. He can read the floor. And, he makes my life easy.
On the line with Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Tristan, let's go back to Monday night, 27 points, 12 rebounds. What clicked in your head during that game where you said to yourself either during or after, okay, this A, B, and C has to happen for me every night to be at that level in this league?
Just being active. If you watch the game, no plays ran for me. I just got things off the glass or, pick and roll with Kyrie. He throws the alley or he dumps it down, I dunk it. It's just playing with high energy, being aggressive and being active. I think, some nights, guys might take, games off, but, for me, being a young guy in this league, you got to come and play every night. And if you play hard and play with, all your energy, things go well for you. And you've seen it in the game against New Jersey.
Tim and Sid in conversation with Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers. As a young player and a guy who only spent 1 year in school, it seems to me like you have a pretty good grasp on what needs to be done for you to be successful. How did that come to you? And do you think that, guys your age all seem to get it that quickly?
I'd be lying to you if you said all guys get it because it doesn't happen. I think it's, me being able to open up and talk to the older guys or, get advice from those that have been in my position and really know, what was my purpose of being drafted. I was drafted based on, first of all, playing defense, playing with the motor, playing hard, and just, almost being poised and had the will to win. So I think I realized what my role is. And, a lot of young guys, they don't realize that. They want to come in and, they want to be the scorer. They want to you know, get 20 points, and it's not like that. You know, some guys are drafted for scoring. You know, look at Marshawn Brooks. He, you know, he's drafted to score. You know, he's a scorer his whole life. But, you know, myself is, you know, is different. You know, I'm here to, you know, rebound, play hard, and, you know, the offense will come because the game is, you know, 48 minutes, and not every guy plays hard.
Tim and Sid in conversation with Brampton native and Cleveland Cavalier Tristan Thompson. All right, so then 38 games into your NBA career, what's the most surprising thing about being a professional basketball player?
Being a professional basketball player, you know, every time, you know, you step outside, you know, you're representing, you know, the organization, and you're representing yourself, and you're representing the city of Cleveland. You know, as a young guy, you know, it might be a lot to ask for. In college, you really just, I guess, almost get away with stuff if you might have, you know, messed up. But now it's, you know, you're under a magnifying glass, and everything is, you know, critiqued, and, you know, you never want to get labeled or do things that might, you know, tamper your career.
Talking to Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tristan, you've now been in Cleveland a little bit. Let's lay all the cards on the table. What's the best part of living in Cleveland, and what's the worst part about living in Cleveland?
The best part of living in Cleveland is, you know, it's very relaxed. You know, a lot of cities like, you know, Atlanta, Miami, New York, and L.A., they got so much going on that it's almost like it could be a distraction. You know, Cleveland, you know, we got great fans, but it's just, you know, it's just relaxed. I can go to the mall and not get, you know, don't get hounded too much. You know, it's traffic's not bad. You know, I can get home. I can sleep at night. I don't have to hear, you know, the lights or, you know, New York, the traffic. It's just very, you know, calm. And I, you know, that's good for me because I want to sleep at night.
The Cleveland Tourism Board should hire you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty ringing endorsement. I'm going to move there when I get fired here. Sounds very nice.
Do you ever get mom's cooking because you're so close?
Yeah, she's actually down for my birthday when we played the Raptors, so she came and, you know, cooked me up a meal, and, you know, it's nothing like mom's cooking, so, you know, I was definitely smiling that day.
Brampton native Tristan Thompson on the line with Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You know, Sunday you guys face Steve Nash and the Suns, and there are rumors swirling in this city that Nash may take on a general manager role with Team Canada. Do you think that'll get dudes out that haven't shown up in the past?
You know, it might help him. You know, Steve's a great guy, and, you know, he's very up, you know, he's up front, and he's very honest. So that might help a lot. You know, it's really just, I guess, based on guys' schedules or whatever commitment they make. So, you know, definitely having Steve involved in the program, and then, you know, hearing about, you know, Jay getting back into it is definitely a positive for Team Canada. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
So, I mean, hypothetically here, Tristan, you know, like you just said, you know, Jay possibly getting back in the fold. You have Nash there. I mean, as a young Canadian guy, how difficult would it be to look at these two men, respected men in Canadian basketball circles, and maybe tell them, you know, I won't be able to do A, B, and C? Can you say no to those guys?
Of course you can say no. You know, at the end of the day, it's what you want to do. You know, you never want someone to force you to do what you don't want to do, because then you're not going to do it to the best of your ability. But I say, you know, it's going to be tough because, you know, telling a two-time MVP and Jay, you know, he's coached the USA, and, you know, it's hard to say no. But, you know, if everyone's on their P's and Q's and everything is, you know, accommodates everyone, then I don't see why guys won't play.
On the line with Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers and a Brampton native. You know, I noticed today on Twitter that Steve Nash shouted out two high school players that are from Canada that won Gatorade Player of the Year in their respective states. Tyler Ennis won the New Jersey Player of the Year, and Andrew Wiggins won the West Virginia Player of the Year. That means they're the top player in that state. Did Nash ever reach out to you like that?
Yeah, me and Steve connected since high school, around 11th grade. You know, he stays in you know, New York during the off season. I was in New Jersey, so we've talked numerous of times, and we've been, you know, close since then. So, you know, it's good that he's, you know, reached out and showed, you know, the young bucks some love. I was just with Tyler when I played New Jersey because you know, I got my ticket to the game and saw him, and so it's good that he's reaching out to the young guys, because, you know, those are the guys that we're gonna need down the line to, you know, be part of this, you know, the national team and help bring Canada basketball to, you know, the powerhouse that we want to be.
So have you done the same? I mean, you reached out to Tyler. Do you know Andrew Wiggins, who seems to be, at least ESPN ranks him the number one recruit in all of the United States for this upcoming year? Have you reached out to him as well?
Yeah, those guys are my young guys, you know. Me and Tyler played on the same team back when I was in the seventh grade. He was like, who knows, he was probably in the fourth grade playing with us with, you know, his high long socks, and all he did was just shoot threes. He was about, you know, 4'11". All he did was just want to shoot threes. He didn't want to play no defense. And then, you know, Andrew, you know, I've known his father and his older brothers for years, so, you know, that's another one of my young bucks too. So, you know, I'm happy for those guys. They, you know, they're definitely representing, and, you know, they're doing what me, Mike, and Corey were doing back in high school. So, you know, it's great.
Young bucks. Tristan, you're sounding like an old man.
Yeah, what's
young
going on?
Young bucks. You're still,
man,
a kid.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old, man. I got all these 16, 17-year-old kids, you know, making a name for themselves. So now they're making me feel old. Cause I just remember back in the day I was, you know, had a high-pitched voice, and I was about, you know, a buck 90 playing United States.
Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, native of Brampton, friend of the show here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Tristan, when you look at all the Canadian guys right now circulating, young bucks, guys at your level who are cutting your teeth in the league, I apologize for saying young bucks, yeah, it was in the vernacular. When you look at all the guys who could potentially get on the same court for, say, a Jay Triano, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, how good do you think Canada's men's national team can be? Where's the bar if everyone is pulling in that direction?
If everyone's pulling that direction, I think we can compete for a medal, you know. USA can always be strong, but, you know, Argentina, you know, Manu and Skull, those guys are getting, you know, those guys are having some age on them, so I don't know what their, I guess their younger group is like, but, you know, Brazil's always tough, but I feel that, you know, if we keep getting better and keep developing, you know, we got a chance to, you know, make a name for ourselves. It's been a long time since Canada, you know, has been to the Olympics. So I think, you know, the next, you know, 4 to 5 years, when everyone's seasoned, we might have a shot to, you know, give people a run for their money.
Let me hashtag Bart Scott when I say can't wait. It'll be fantastic to see. Who did you take in your NCAA pool before we let you go?
I had to go for Texas.
Oh,
come on now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the record is. I had to go for them. Those are my guys.
What were they? Were they an 18 seed?
No.
Oh, there you go.
He's throwing stones.
Oh, sorry about that.
So once the first round was done, did you retake an NCAA pool?
I didn't. You know, I didn't redo a pool, but, you know, I'm going to go for another Big 12 team. I was going to go for Missouri if Texas lost, but now I'm going for Kansas to win it all.
Right, and that was the big win for Texas. So there you go. You kind of, if you beat the man, then you end up looking a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
All right, Tristan, thank you very much for your time. We hope to do it again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
There is Brampton's Tristan Thompson, who also is a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the top overall Canadian pick in the history of the NBA at fourth overall. Unless you believe that Bob Hubregs was actually Canadian, but he kind of really wasn't. So it's Tristan Thompson. He was pseudo-Canadian.
I like what I'm hearing, Tim.
So do I.
I have to admit, I like what I'm hearing. But now, as at the end of the day, all, you know, people got to put their chips forward and go all in. This is all very good. The talk is great. We got to see it at some point. We got to see everyone going in the right direction. However, it's interesting to hear where he thinks the bar is with the Nash in the fold. The Jay Triano potentially in the fold, with Canada having its best available talent at its disposal. It's interesting to hear where he thinks the program can go.
As anyone who has watched basketball in this country on any sort of level, I'm sure we are all just waiting for the proof to be in the pudding. But if it eventually becomes proof in the pudding, if the proof is put in that pudding.
And I love some pudding.
Yeah, we all love pudding. Then we're going to have a Bob, we're going to have a big, big team. Like, I mean, think Wiggins is number one. He's ranked number one in the United States of America, the U.S. of A.
And they have some guys who can play some basketball. Now,
right.
In markets like Chicago.
Right.
In New York.
And Ennis is a junior, and he was named New Jersey High School Player of the Year. So he's got one more year left in high school. I mean, there are some big things happening in Canadian basketball, and please. I beg of them. Just get on the court together.
Hashtag pudding.
Hashtag pudding.
What happened in Chicago last night?
Hashtag Bill Cosby.
Hashtag cheap shot.
Oh.
Duncan Keith Daniel Sedin. And I'm not just talking about one. There was a few incidents in that game involving those two.
I heard there's a rivalry
Woo!
Between them.
We're going to talk Hawks and Canucks. Next, Tim and Sid, Pudding, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cosby.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sid Sixero, Tim McAuliffe, it's Tim and Sid. Reaching the halfway point.
Apologize to those in Vancouver right now.
Yeah. Basically, we can extend that apology to Game 7 last year. We should just come on at some point during every show and apologize to the city of Vancouver for just stuff that happened. Sorry, guys. It's been a rough go. Tim, by the way, yesterday, did you bring this up on air or off air? I can't remember. Italian side Juventus.
On air, yeah.
Is it on air? You mentioned that they're now playing that Chelsea Dagger track.
I had heard that they, Tim and Citizen sent it to me that they were playing Chelsea Dagger.
I was watching Milan Juve from this week on tape.
Oh, nice.
I can confirm that is what they play in Turin when Juventus now score in Italian soccer action. So the Tim and Citizen source you had was correct.
So all you hear is, goal!
Face is red.
Yeah, I'm going to faint.
Uh-oh. How do those guys Uh-oh. Scream it for like, Tim has fainted.
That's my head hitting the table.
Tim has fainted. They just keep saying calcio, 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 calcio over Chelsea there. So I can confirm.
Still not as good as Portuguese radio calls, but pretty good. Can we just start playing more Portuguese radio calls, please?
With laser cats in them? Remember SNL laser cats? Yeah. Pew,
pew, pew. No, it sounds like a reggae jam has crossed over into a soccer game.
Yeah, we don't have enough
when
time.
When the Portuguese do radio soccer calls.
We don't have enough time to properly describe what that's. I think we have on this show.
At 3 o'clock, we are going to play a Portuguese radio
I think
radio
my
call.
Brother, Alex Sixero, has thrown a couple in that Lance Kennedy may be able to pull out.
So 3 o'clock.
We're going to play you the most unique radio call of anything you've ever heard.
I enjoy it so much.
No one likes it more than you. You're not even, your parents aren't even Portuguese.
No. Match game?
There was some, match game. Let's do it. I completely forgot.
No problem. We're a team. Got your back. The question today, Tim Tebow will begin to blank now that he is in New York. Once again, Tim Tebow will begin to blank now that he is in New York. Gareth Bush writes in, Tim Tebow will begin to baptize Cromartie's kids now that he's in New York.
That's good.
Might take a while. Conrado says, Tim Tebow will replace Melo in the starting lineup of the Knicks and lead them to the finals now that he's in New York.
Anything is possible.
It's a lot to ask, but Jeremy Lin's almost his twin, so I kind of understand it. Brandon Speranza writes in at Tim and Sid on Twitter. Tim Tebow will begin to model for Sean Avery's clothing line now that he's in New York.
We've been requested but turned it down.
And Jason Knox says, Tim Tebow will begin to develop a foot fetish now that he is in New York City.
Goodness gracious. Can I add one? I just thought of it.
Of course.
Tim Tebow will begin to stay up until 11:30.
Oh, no, he won't.
Now that he is in New York.
No,
it's getting risque.
No.
Close to midnight, but not really.
And that milk may turn into a Coca-Cola.
He's going to have, Tim Tebow will begin to have sugar after 8 o'clock now that he's in New York.
Gatorade at 9 o'clock.
All right. There it is. There's the match game. requests still pouring in. At Tim and Sid on Twitter. Also the email, Tim and Sid at sportsnet590.ca.
Damien wrote in and said, Tim Tebow will turn into John Rocker now that he's in New York. And I just thought, wouldn't it be amazing if Tim Tebow actually did turn into a John Rocker-like person once he moves to New York?
Like just
180.
Just one inappropriate comment after.
Yeah, like just turns into a big douche. Could you imagine?
That would be a story.
That would be awesome.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine controversy in a Canucks Blackhawk game?
No.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Not in at least a couple months.
It happened again last night. Steve Rosenblum from the Chicago Tribune is on to talk about it. Steve, welcome back to Tim and Sid.
Thanks for having me. I like that match game thing. I like that. It's a really good gimmick. That's in my business, the highest compliment I can pay is that's good enough to steal.
Yep. Yeah, well, and we stole it.
Yeah, so. We stole it from somebody. So just pay it forward there, Steve. Just pay it forward. Where do you want to begin last night? I mean, there were two shots to the head, best I could see, but only one of them is really being talked about, and it's the one that Duncan Keith delivered. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, he should be suspended, and I think Daniel Sedin should be suspended for the one earlier that Duncan Keith just sort of lost his mind afterwards, and I'm not excusing it. He should be suspended, but Daniel Sedin ran his head into the glass, which seems to be what the NHL is trying to get away from. At least the hanging judge, Brendan Shanahan, has been working overtime doing that. So it was just the usual stuff. Alexander Burrows was seen kneeing somebody in the groin, and which is a little different from, you know, hair pulling and biting. And here's what's amazing. People in my business and your business, the media will sometimes exaggerate, right? Well, exaggerate to make a point or to have fun with something, whatever it is. And if you were to talk about hockey players and you were to say, well, he pulled hair, he bit somebody's finger, he kneed him in the groin, that wouldn't be exaggerating when it comes to a particular Vancouver Canuck. But that just seems to be what happens when these two teams get together.
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up, because we tend to expect things like that from guys like Alex Burrows, and it seems somewhat more acceptable. What we don't expect it from, or who we don't expect it from, is Duncan Keith. Did you talk to him after the game, or did you hear him talk at least after the game? And did he admit that he kind of deviated from what is Duncan Keith?
No, he sounded like a football coach when he knew something was wrong. I'll have to look at the film. I haven't seen the video of that. And it just sounded, they're all taught to lie, and they're taught to lie very well. And I'll have to look at it, I'll have to see. Just trying to close the gap on the puck that was in the air. And yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sure that is just a happy byproduct that it happened to be Daniel Sedin who nailed you earlier in the game. So that's what he's saying, and you expect that, because as soon as it was brought up to Quenneville after the game, he made sure that everybody knew Marcus Kruger was out in the first period and wasn't able to return. So yeah. The typical NHL, I confess, he did it, continues.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you hit the nail on the head, because it seems like now it's almost like the media coach has gone to all four sports and said the same. Whenever anything controversial happens in your game, because I heard Brent Seabrook after the game, he was like, oh, no, I didn't see it. I was turning at the point that it had. Like, it just seems like every guy now, oh, I didn't see what happened. I'll have to watch the tape.
And would you be surprised if you asked any Ranger or Devil, can they give the same answer after the start the other night? Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed it. Yeah. The three fights right in the opening faceoff.
Right.
I didn't see it. I was changing channel.
Line brawl was tying my skates.
Yeah.
Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Tribune here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Steve, I don't want to go overboard with this, and I don't have any evidence, but it appears the Blackhawks have a bounty program.
And Sean Payton got suspended by Gary Bettman.
Yes, exactly.
When these teams play, the remarkable thing about it is it shows you the depth of the hatred between these two teams. The Blackhawks had been on a run where they lost 1 of 11, and they were playing playoff hockey, but and specifically showing tremendous discipline. And they were moving the puck, they were skating. Even without Jonathan Toews, they were skating with a willingness to take a punch in the mouth, take the power play, even though their power play sucks, but just not retaliate. Retaliators always get caught. And they were doing it to frustrating teams, and they were winning games with that kind of playoff approach. And then here come the Canucks, and there's three penalties in the first period, and it's just they forget everything that they've been doing, and they resort to whatever the playoff years brought up and how much these teams hate each other, because the Hawks were playing maybe the best hockey in the league until last night. I know they won, but the style they were playing was just perfect for the playoffs.
On the line with Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune. Does Chicago get jacked for this series?
Yeah. Said they do. Sure look like they did.
I mean the city, not the fans. Not the players.
There's a good hate going around. I mean, this is a city that is, with all the major sports covered and two baseball teams, you don't lack for opponents that you hate. And it would appear the Vancouver, for fans, it would appear the Vancouver rivalry has overtaken the Red Wings rivalry. There's probably more respect for the Red Wings, certainly, than there is for the Canucks, but more respect than hate now, because the Red Wings have just done it with wonderful players for a lot of years, and they wrote the book on what the Blackhawks wanted to be when they grew up, and finally they were, and they did, and they won the Stanley Cup, and they did it the Red Wings way, with puck possession, skating, a minimum of shots, and a willingness to take abuse to get a power play and turn the game around that way. That's what the Red Wings have done, continue to do. I mean, they're still a scary team. They will be a scary team in the playoffs because of the guys they have. And Pavel Datsyuk, he and Malkin were, in my mind, the two MVP candidates, because Detroit was just going crazy and before Datsyuk got hurt. And I think that's the respect fans have here for Detroit has changed to that from you just hate them. Now they got Vancouver to hate.
Steve, we've got about 30 seconds left. I know there was a phone hearing scheduled today between Duncan Keith and the league, which meant he can't get more than 5 games. So what are we looking at here? Is he going to get 3 like Shane Doan got earlier this week?
I don't know, and I don't know what I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow. I'm not sure what they do with a first-time offender and a guy not normally given to that. I don't know if there will be they'll take into consideration Daniel Sedin's condition, which reportedly is a concussion, but that might be something that Brendan Shanahan wouldn't take into consideration because it's not like a broken leg. You don't have an X-ray for something like that. So I don't know where it goes. It happens at a bad time, and even if it's 3 games, even if it's 2 games, it just happens at a bad time. They're playing Nashville next. I'm sure that Keith will be suspended for a game against Nashville, a team they're trying to catch, and they were going so well, they remarkably had a shot at home ice advantage in the first round, mm-hmm. and then he does something stupid.
I'm sure that the folks in Vancouver are saying the same thing. Happens at a bad time for them as well. Hey, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
There is Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune, and you can check out his work at the Rosenblog, which is a heavily hockey blog by Steve Rosenblum.
Never a dull moment when the Blackhawks and the Canucks get together.
No. Still to come on Tim and Sid, Kyle Turley, former New Orleans Saint, will tell us about Bounty Gate and his thoughts on the year-long suspension handed down to Sean Payton, among others. Michael Grange joining us after the next break to talk about his story on Steve Natch, which got the cover of Sportsnet.
Michael Grange.
We got a cover.
He's a cover boy?
Friend of the show is a cover boy and the greatest call on a Portuguese soccer goal you'll ever hear. Still to come on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother.
Yeah.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sid Sixero, Tim McAuliffe. Here on Tim and Sid. Coming up, much more on what happened yesterday in relation to the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton, the head coach, getting a 1-year suspension without pay. His pay, Tim? $6 million.
And it could get up to like $7.5 million, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a hefty, hefty penalty. So we're expecting to talk to Kyle Turley, the always opinionated Kyle Turley, about what's happening down in the Bayou. It has not been a good few days for them football-wise.
And Michael Grange, who had an interesting article on Sportsnet.ca, but he's a cover boy now, so maybe we'll have to talk about the cover. Friend of the show.
That's what I'm cover boy.
Cover boy. Cover boy. Michael Grange.
Michael Grange cover.
Just a second. I got to chase away some people here.
Stop signing autographs for 3 seconds. No, I've never been on the cover of anything in my life. Let us know.
I walked through that building. I'm lucky my pass works. And there's like posters for you people.
Oh, wait a second. What do you mean by you people?
Well, okay. I keep forgetting we're friends. I mean, yeah. I'm just a guy who works there. You guys are face of the franchise.
Oh, come on. We've been here 15
minutes.
We've been here 15 minutes.
So you're not on primetime sports right now. This is Tim and Sid.
Running Out of Time is the cover of Sportsnet magazine on newsstands now. At 38, Steve Nash has never won a title, so why is he content playing for a bad team? The inspiration came from where on this, Mike? Where did the light bulb go off?
I think there was just a bit of a contrast. Well, I guess there'd be a couple of places. One was sort of like the it started pretty organically. I mean, the free Steve Nash idea. There's the Facebook page that's out there, and you know Chris Webber was chanting it on a couple of broadcasts and all of that, and it just sort of struck me as an interesting topic in the sense of you got a guy who, according to the script, according to Dwight Howard's script and Carmelo Anthony's script and Chris Paul's script and just about anyone you can think of, Chris Bosh's script, LeBron's script, well, not so much LeBron, but a little different situation, but when you have the chance, if the situation you're in is not to your liking, if it's not championship caliber and you're that kind of player, the script says, hey, you got to go. And you got to leverage your power. You got to leverage the demand for your services and land yourself in a situation that's better. And Steve Nash very obviously didn't read the script and he didn't play along. And to the point where the cry for him to leave, I mean, and this is a guy whose career is, you know, I'm going to be measured in years, hopefully, but it, you know, it could be over next year. It could be over this year. You never know. And yet he was content to stay in a team that missed the playoffs last year. And they're going to be very touch and go to make it this year. I predict they won't. And I just thought that was an interesting kind of question to tumble over a little bit.
It is. And Michael Grange joins us here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Tim and Sid. We've been on the hashtag Free Nash bandwagon for so long that it turned into Rick Nash halfway along the line. But it's interesting, and what's the answer to the question? Why is he content? Because it seems as though he is content playing for a team that might make the playoffs.
Well, I think the simplest way to answer that is without being too cynical, I think it is a reflection of his brand and I'll back up a little bit and say it is sincere. I mean, he is, if you think of Steve Nash and what he stands for, it is team and kind of necessarily, right? If you're a 6'1" point guard whose best skill is passing the basketball, you have to be a team player. And not only do you have to be a team player, you have to get other people to buy into your concept of what being a team player is. That's how he has become a great player by NBA standards. And I think, so there's kind of two streams to go down. And I think one of them is an awareness that for him to stand around and go, you know what, I live in this community, I've built this community, I've been Mr. Sun, and I am the quintessential team player. And now that I don't like my team, I'm getting out of here. I think that would, you know, I think that's a little disingenuous, I think, for if you put it against his whole body of work. And I also think that, so, and I applaud him for that. I think that's there should be more guys, A, who embrace the concept of the team and embrace the idea of you being paid well and let's try and make the situation you're in better rather than leave town for the next job. But I also think that there's a side of him that understands, look, if I had started the I want to be traded chant, either quietly or publicly, that's kind of opened Pandora's box. And I can't control where it's going to end. I don't know where I'm going to be traded. And if I just hang in here, do my job, see what I can, I'm a free agent in July 1st, and I arrive at free agency with my reputation intact, having had another good season, being seen to do the best possible work I can with a pretty bad team. And I think long term that's a better plan for Steve Nash.
Michael Grange on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael Grange, cover story on Sportsnet magazine on newsstands today.
Cover boy.
On the shot clock, the sun seems to have set on Steve Nash's desert dream. Why hasn't the legend left? Considering what we've all said here, Mike, would it stun anyone if he goes into free agency this offseason and re-signs? Would anyone be surprised?
I don't think so. I mean, Phoenix will have some cap room. They will be in a position to improve their team. I think the struggle there will be how much does that team, whose two best players are 38 and 39 years old, in Nash and Grant Hill, and it's not like they have a next layer of they got two young studs they're trying to nurture. So how much do you invest as an ownership? If you're Robert Sarver, how much do you invest in keeping the status quo? Do you go and sign Steve Nash for 2 years and 20-something million or 25 million, which I would imagine be where it would start, when you've just missed the playoffs and there's no real prospects of that being turned around really quickly? And I think the one thing that Nash has said and said to me was, I mean, he's a loyal guy, but he won't be contractually obligated after June 30th. And he's not about to sign at a discount. So I don't think they'll have that card to play. I think at that point, I think I personally would be disappointed. I mean, I respect what he's done this year, but I would like to see this guy play the last couple of years in a situation that befits him. And if that's maybe playing for a championship, it'd be great to see. Easier said than done, obviously. I know for a fact that they're going to, I shouldn't say for a fact, I am very confident that there's going to be a pretty aggressive push made by, say, the Raptors to see if they can bring him to Toronto. And I think that'd be a really interesting place for him to finish his career too.
Well, and Michael Grange of Sportsnet joins us, friend of the show. That's a remarkably intriguing situation because obviously everyone in Toronto would love to see Steve Nash. How he benefits the franchise long-term, I'm not sure. But if I'm Steve Nash, Mike, and I am a two-time MVP and perhaps the best player to never make a finals, I'm looking for a spot that I can make a finals so I don't go down as the guy who was great but never even made a finals.
True. I think that makes perfect sense. Another alternative would be to say, I'm going to go to a place where I can secure my legacy as the face and embodiment of a sport in my country. Doing that here in Toronto makes that possible. I mean, and do the Toronto Raptors desperately need a 38 going on 39-year-old point guard? Not necessarily. Could they benefit from a guy of his credibility and ability for a short-term basis and help guys like Andrea Bargnani, Jonas Valanciunas, DeMar DeRozan become the best kind of pros they can be, and then step back and know that they've lifted that program? That's not a bad sort of legacy to have written in your career if it doesn't end you up in the NBA Finals. I mean, he knows as well.
And then maybe
there's no, like, making the NBA Finals is like, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Jameer Nelson has also made an NBA Finals. Let's keep what that means. I mean, if you don't win an NBA Finals, I don't know what it means. But, to get it done at the end, obviously, is a legacy-changing thing. But I think we're talking about him winning, right? We're talking about him getting to the pinnacle, something he hasn't done before.
That would be the perfect ending to the whole thing. But I think you're looking for this guy. I guess what I'm looking for is this guy to finish his career in a meaningful way, because his career has been too good. He's been too good a pro for it to kind of end up, and I don't think it will be, I think, because he is too good a pro. But you want him to end up with a legacy, with his last two, 3 years, whatever it might be, adding to what he's already achieved, as opposed to it being, you know, something less than that.
And that way, you could also take over as GM of Canada Basketball.
That's an interesting concept. I mean, I'm sort of digging away a little bit on that. I don't think that role, you know, precludes him playing here or anywhere else. Obviously, I mean, it would certainly help the program if he was around and available to sort of speak to it and on a regular basis. But, you know, I'm sure it's not tied to, to his geography. I think probably the biggest factor is he's got his kids, he's divorced. What's that going to mean? How is he going to manage that? There's a lot of little layers, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it unfolds. Not so much the rest of this season, as I said, I'll be pretty surprised if he ends up in the playoffs, but certainly come May and June and July into free agency.
Mike, thanks a lot. I now know the answer to the question: what does Michael Grange and Sofia Vergara have in common? They've both been on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
Mike. Wow, that's awesome.
And Mike,
unfortunately, I haven't been on the cover with her.
No.
Well, that's right. Well, baby step. Baby steps.
Can you guys work on that?
Yeah, baby steps.
We'll do our best.
We'll make a couple of calls.
All right.
Thanks, man. Michael Grange of Sportsnet.ca. Cover story, running out of time. At 38, Steve Nash has never won a title. Why is he content for playing on a bad team? Cover story today, Sportsnet Magazine on newsstands. Go check it out.
We ran out of time, too, but I'm going to bring Michael's opinion to the table on this New Orleans Saints and why Roger Goodell laid down the law. It was a fantastic article, and I think both Michael and I were touched when Dave Duerson took his life and said, please donate my brain to science because something's going on here. And it was the genesis for many, and now there are, as Michael points out in his article, so many lawsuits being pushed against the NFL for suppressing information on concussions and brain injuries that this one-year suspension had to be laid, that Greg Williams may never coach in the NFL again because of what he did. And it's an interesting angle.
It's still a stunning story, and it's now over 24 hours old, but I can't wrap my head around it. Next hour here on Tim and Sid, we'll speak to Kyle Turley, formerly of New Orleans. What has happened to the reputation of that franchise with this? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. You know, we'll also hear from Roger Goodell himself, the man who laid down this suspension. We're going to hear a bit of his interview yesterday with Rich Eisen on NFL Network, and we'll lead you up to Primetime Sports Bob and Count at 4 o'clock. You're listening to Tim and Sid. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.